Daily news, breaking updates, and exclusive podcasts. iTricks.com.
Hello and welcome to the Magic Week in Review, bringing you news, rumor, and culture reports from the front lines of the magic industry. I'm Justin Robert Young, editor of iTricks.com, and joining me on this edition of the program is a good friend of the site, ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Rudy Kobe. Welcome, Rudy.
Thank you. good friend. I'm a good friend of the site and a good friend of Justin Robert Young.
I am privileged enough to call Rudy Kobe a personal friend of mine. So I am very excited. Anytime that I can talk to you, period, is always a good time. And anytime we can talk to you and share it on the podcast is an even better one. So
awesome.
We will go all in depth about Rudy's brand new lecture notes and your chance to maybe see the man live in person for the first time. You haven't toured or done lecture stuff in a while, right?
Yeah, well, since I was in the witness protection program for the last 10 years, so I wasn't doing much of anything. No. Yeah.
Living under an assumed name in an Illinois suburb.
Absolutely. I was 667, the roommate of the beast.
So, sure, exactly. All right, well, I'll tell you, we will get into all that. But before we start, of course, I need to remind everybody that yes, trickshopmagic.com is the place that you need to go right now. Do me a favor, if you're listening to this on your computer, go ahead and head over there. Trickshopmagic.com. They got, all the latest releases. And Sam Blankenship, he's just gone crazy. He's literally gone insane. And he lowered all the prices because you want to know what? He's committed to getting that stuff into your house and into your life with all due haste. So head on over there. Let them know that iTricks sent you, and enjoy the deals. Because, I'll tell you what, you're not going to get it cheaper. You can try. Go ahead. Try. I dare you to try. And then when you come back to me in utter disgust and defeat, full of self-loathing, then you will understand that your will has been broken because of the deals offered by Sam Blankenship at TrickShotMagic.com. It's bringing the brick-and-mortar experience to the internet one click at a time. One more time, folks. Let's all say it together. TrickShopMagic.com. Rudy, let's talk a little bit about these new lecture notes. Obviously, your first set is something that I know personally as I've become more and more of a part of the magic industry that your lecture notes are kind of held on a pedestal, especially in terms of stuff that gets more philosophical. There are obviously a lot of lecture notes that are great in terms of, the stuff they tip, but it's basically material. Yours, and specifically your thoughts about, character and length of act and that kind of stuff has always kind of been held as a shining example of what things could and can be. Yeah, how much of that, number one, did you feel? And in going forward, did you feel any pressure that these new lecture notes kind of had to live up to that?
Yeah. What's amazing is the original, I never saw myself really doing magic lectures. And, it's funny, I've done talks at non-magic conventions. Like I did a big thing at Dragon Con years ago.
And, oh, really?
Yeah, it was in, on your side of the world.
Yeah, no, it's in Atlanta. I just went to Dragon Con for the first time last year, and it was amazing. You need to come back.
Yeah, I am going to come back, and that was fantastic, and it was amazing because they brought me there as a non-magician, because of the comic books and all that kind of stuff. And so I went there, and it was one of the greatest experiences of my life. I mean, just in general, I think that convention for me, I've been to San Diego Comic Con, and I've been to, every magic convention in the world, and I've, a lot of specific, unique conventions, but I think Dragon Con is the best event I've ever been to. It's just fantastic. They take over the entire city, and obviously it's nerd nirvana. I mean,
I don't know when you went. I can only assume as people have told me when I was there last year that every year has kind of grown exponentially, but it was really it's something to see when you can lock down downtown Atlanta and all five of the major hotels are sold beyond capacity with people, sleeping in the hallways if they were allowed to.
Yeah.
you know, and it just all, it's all nerds. It's so deliciously geeky. It's yeah, like but the best.
At the same time, it's also filled with beautiful women.
Yes.
Which is quite different than most nerd conventions.
No, yes, exactly. If you've ever wanted to see all manner of like really, really, really attractive women dressed in the most, you know, it's not even like, it's like after you've seen your fourth, you know, kind of you know, regular Slave Leia, then you see the zombified Slave Leia, the Slave Leia that in this generation has become a Doctor Who companion. Like, you know, it's just, it's amazing. No, but
it's amazing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it's funny. It's, it, and what's really fantastic about it is, and I know we're getting off the subject, but not really, because it all wraps around.
There we go.
Is that it's Dragon Con is kind of, it actually is my favorite event because it's more about, it is a celebration of creativity. It's not just comic books. It's not just movies. It's all of that. It's the Lord of the Rings stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, magic fits in just as well as anything else, which was
absolutely
amazing. So I performed there and they had me host the, or I was one of the judges on the costume contest, which was fantastic.
Oh my God. Yeah.
With Anthony Daniels. And
oh, that's great.
It was crazy. And so anyway, I did, I was like, well, what am I really doing here? And what kind of, you know, so I did sort of a lecture slash show and it was packed and it went on for 2 hours. And basically I realized that my advice in general that I would give to any magician or to a friend, that's the way I looked at it. What advice would I give to a friend who wants to do creative stuff? And I realized at the end of it that it the advice I was giving pretty much applied towards any creative effort. So I was asked to do a lecture at the TAOM convention, I think a year later.
Okay.
And for the first time I said yes, I did a lecture there. And it was the same thing. It was 2 hours long and it was fantastic. And I basically wanted to come up with lecture notes. Someone told me I needed to have lecture notes. So I was thinking about it. And basically at that point, I had just done my TV shows and I was in a really good place as far as my head. And for some reason, I had clarity, like magic clarity. You know, I basically wrote those first notes as if my best friend wanted to be a success in magic and I had to put it on paper and give it to him. And so it was really, you know, they were lecture notes. So it wasn't a full, you know, hundreds of pages of books, but all the ideas were, you know, if I had to make it potent and to you know, to give just the top tips, that's what I did. So what was funny was certain sections of that book, first of all, it was only supposed to be a one-off magic convention, but then so many people started writing me and people started putting up on eBay. I mean, I've seen them sell for like $80 and $120 and they were sort of out of print. And but people would write me every so often telling me how much the notes they would find a copy and how much they meant to them and how it literally changed their path in magic. And I know that sounds like hype, but I have, you know, in the new notes, I have examples of it.
Yeah.
And it's amazing because one section in particular was basically, it was called 3 minutes.
Yes.
And the advice was about how the biggest secret I've ever learned in magic is that if you want to become world famous, if you want to travel the world tomorrow, you know, because everybody dreams of that when they're a kid learning magic, they want to be David Copperfield or they want to be Lance Burton. And they think it's, you know, I came from a poor family, so it seems unreachable. So I tell people that I can tell them exactly how far they are away from traveling the world tomorrow.
Yeah.
I can give them an exact time frame.
Yeah.
And that's 3 minutes. And basically the idea behind that was that if you have a 3-minute act that's good and original and strong, you can travel the world tomorrow. And it's just a fact. And if you have a 3-minute tape of you performing and it's original, good, and strong, you can travel the world tomorrow. And I know it sounds impossible, but it's absolutely true. Agents are dying for new people to throw on television. And, you know, there's basically a, you know, a 2011 version of vaudeville. Instead of traveling by boxcar to, you know, to city to city.
Yeah, various dining halls in the Catskills, you know.
Yeah, exactly. No, don't put that's where I come from, the Catskills. That's where Lab Man was born, in the Catskills.
There we go.
Instead of, instead of going to the Palace Theater or to, you know, to like in the 20s,
yeah,
that's what it's like now. I mean, but there's a TV show in every single, there's a TV show in every single country in the world. So, you know, I've done 80 countries doing the Four Legs or the, and I'm just telling you that I have the best agents in the world. They're desperate. They ask me all the time. I'm always giving them tapes and tips. So basically the, and this is not just for people who want to, you know, a lot of people have families, a lot of people have other jobs, they're college professors or, you know, so it's not about, you know, oh, you want to be Criss Angel. It has nothing to do with that. What it has to do with is it's also what Vernon used to say, you know, Vernon's advice about becoming famous was learn to do something better than anybody else so that when somebody sees someone else do it, they say, oh, but have you seen Rudy Kobe do that? And
yeah,
that's how you become world famous. And so what I'm saying is you come up with a 3-minute version of your act, you could travel the world tomorrow, whether that means going to magic conventions or, you know, or it just makes you a better performer in general. So so that section of the notes really struck a chord with people. Even now I find examples all the time. Like, for example, one of the examples I was going to use in the new lecture book was I thought that, you know, there's so many kids out there doing, I don't even know what you call it, flourishing. Or
yeah, extreme. Cardistry.
Cardistry, flourishry, extreme card manipulation.
XCM,
yeah. What does that stand for?
Extreme card manipulation, I do believe.
Right.
Yeah. They're all, yeah, it's like the Bloods and the Crips with them, though. Like, you can't call one group that they're doing the other thing.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, no, it's violent. It's a deep and dirty world.
Well, I'm on the West Coast, whatever that means. So
yeah.
I'm East Coast originally, so I can, anyway, one of the examples I use is I love that stuff. You know,
yeah.
I mean, the same way I love a juggler, you know, watching a juggler or watching Michael Motion. And it's fun to, you know, see those examples on, you know, YouTube. And it's fun because basically, again, we've talked about this before, but I disappeared from magic for over a decade because of lots of different reasons.
Yeah.
So when I came back, mostly because I was working with Marilyn Manson, traveling with him, being his roommate and designing his shows. But I came back with fresh eyes. So coming back and seeing this, how flourishing has extreme card manipulation has become this fad. What's interesting is, I would imagine that a lot of people are looking, well, how can I turn that into something where I can travel the world? And the truth is, anything that you do, you have to find your own niche. So the notes back then, the new ones especially, basically I'm taking the old version of my lecture and I'm focusing it down and expanding on all those ideas, you know, making it even more palatable and understandable to people. So, for example, I was going to use Sean Farquhar, who
okay,
on FISM,
yeah,
basically doing cardistry, you know what I mean, or whatever term you want to use for what he does. And basically, why did he win FISM? Why is he traveling all over the world doing, you know, flourishing that most people or most flourishers would say, well, I could do that. Why aren't I traveling the world? So I was,
yeah,
using him as an example. And it was funny that I didn't know how to spell his name, to be honest with you. I had met him years and years and years ago, and he's a nice guy, but I was looking it up and I found
very, very, very sneaky Q in Farquhar.
Oh yeah, there is, yeah, isn't it? And also
an odd H.
Yeah, there's a sneaky H in there.
Very, yeah, a very devious H lurking about, yeah, Sean Farquhar's name.
Yeah, yeah, there's something foreign about him that we shouldn't trust because of that.
Yeah, he got a bit of that beady Canadian kind of vibe to that,
I know,
last name.
Absolutely. And does he speak with a French accent?
I'm sure he's great.
Does he speak with a French accent? I forget. I don't think he did.
I don't know. No, I don't think so. I think we just put up a thing of him on Ellen in our top five Ellen moments. But he did great. No, I mean, and that Shape of My Heart routine is fantastic.
Yeah, you know what's and you know what's really funny about it is so the reason now is the time that I decided to do the new lecture.
Yeah.
Well, finish about Sean. So basically I was using him as an example and I want to find out how, so I put his name in and one of the first videos, my name was on there, like,
really?
As a tag or something. Yeah. So I linked to this and on where the advertisement for the new lecture book, I linked to this YouTube. So when I started watching, I was actually out on hiking. So I was listening on my iPhone And he's talking about being in China and all this stuff and the world championships. And then at the end, he goes, well, I want to give you something of value at the end of his podcast or whatever you would call it. And he goes, this is not from me. This is from a guy named Rudy Kobe. And here's the, and he starts talking about my lecture notes.
That's amazing.
And about, it is amazing. And he goes on for 5 minutes about him, how they're life-changing and the most valuable advice he's ever read, and that he leaves it in his you know, in his spare bedroom at his house, and all every magician that stays there picks them up and starts reading them and says, where can I get them? And they start reading them, and they finish them. And it was funny that, you know, and that was totally a coincidence. I was using him as an example, and he was using me as an example. And this is from last summer, you know, at FISM time when he was talking about this. So I've got so many emails about the original lecture notes. And again, it was because I had clarity. I really broke it down into easily understandable terms, even to the extent last year I was asked to do a lecture again in France. So I've had to, so I brought out the lecture notes and I was bringing them to France, and I read them on the plane and actually started taking my advice again. It was funny because there'd been enough time, and that's absolutely true. And I was reading them on the plane, and I was like inspired. It was like somebody giving me the advice coming back into magic. And I did exactly what it says in the book. I wrote the, you know, the on a piece of paper 3 minutes and put it on my bathroom mirror. And the idea behind that, just I'll give the people a brief example of it.
Yeah.
Basically, if you know that all you need is that 3 minutes, you don't waste time with things that don't matter. All of a sudden, you don't have to learn every single card trick. You don't have to waste your time gossiping about other magicians. Anything that's going to take your focus away from coming up with that 3 minutes is a waste of time. And the fact of the matter is, if you come up with that 3 minutes, you travel the world tomorrow, whether that you know, means performing at magic conventions, or it just means, you know, it means, you know, there's plenty of amateurs making on Ellen now because Ellen will see, you know, a
YouTube clip, you know, that'll,
a YouTube clip. Exactly. And the fact of the matter is, Dan Sperry could have been a dentist and put his, you know, his 3 minutes online and ended up in America's Got Talent.
Yeah.
It's a great world. And the three minute rule, as I like to call it, applies now more than it did, you know, over 10 years ago when I wrote it, when YouTube was not a factor.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, absolutely.
So
in fact, now, I mean, it might even be, you know, a minute and a half, right?
Exactly right. And that's something I talk about. It is a minute and a half because of, you know, and it's funny, and a lot of people don't know this, but I worked with, when Dan Sperry did America's Got Talent, when he was going through it, I was helping him out a little bit on that because I really believe in that guy. I think he's one of Dan's best. Yeah, he's, you know.
We're obviously, you know, very, very big fans of Dan here at iTrix. And you know, I think, you know, listeners, I think to this podcast probably know that you were helping him out because I think we talked about it while it was happening.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I remember talking about it. I just don't assume everybody listens to all of everything I ever say. So,
yeah, well, that's your personal.
Well, maybe, who knows?
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, but Dan is a perfect example of what I'm talking about. And basically, it's just about taking magic or any art and making it unique, making it so only when people see you, it could only be you doing it, unique take on it. And here's another secret. Just to say it. And I think, you know, I think that it's funny talk. I like talking to you about this stuff because in many ways you are, you're coming at it fresh. So I think that you're coming at it from a place where I respect you as a human being. I think that you have, I think that you and I have very similar geeky interests. Yes. And, you know, and so for a person who I kind of respect, I like your taste in movies and you know, weirdness. So you coming in fresh is a different take than a magician because you get to see, I think that you, because you have fresh eyes, you see where people fail a lot easier than a magician would because, and also you work with Andrew Main, who's my pick for maybe one of the most, along Chris Kenner and a few other people are my pick for maybe one of the most creative people in magic. And to me, I think you'll understand what I'm going to say. What I'm trying to get across to people, and I honestly believe this, is that it's easier to become an original magician than just follow the pack. It takes more dedication, but to me, or it's just as easy. It's just as easy to the effort you would spend into stealing someone's routine.
Yes, is almost more than just synthesizing it yourself.
Exactly right. And I think if the other thing is, if people know that, to me, there's no choice in whether it's original or not. If it's not original, I don't do it. And if you take the choice of just doing something like someone else has done before, and you understand that there are simple mathematical formulas to becoming original, that, you know, if you, it's kind of a philosophy. It's kind of the, you know, it's just a guide that you will come up with creative stuff. And it's so much more satisfying. I think people don't realize that all my satisfaction comes from it being original and my own presentation of it. And it's just a totally different enjoyment of magic than just being able to do someone else's trick, you know? So it's fun because I think that, you know, using the examples of the flourishers, for them to see that, you know, they've got to find the unique way of presenting what they do and they'll be success. But if not, it's almost like being a juggler. You know, a lot of people can juggle three balls, you know, but, you know, the guy that was, I forget who he was opening for, but he was opening for Michael Jackson, I think.
Okay.
Some point, but I forget his name, but I mean, Chris something. But he's a guy who does three ball juggling, and he opened for the Michael Jackson tour at one point.
Jeez.
And that's all he's doing. Yeah, no, and he's not even doing difficult stuff, but just the way he did it.
It was a great act, you know.
Exactly,
it was,
right.
It was entertainment.
And it was basically about finding the right song and, you know, the way he would perform to, you know, popular songs, and it was fantastic.
Let me ask you this, because I mean, I know in terms of conversations that we've had both on the podcast and off, a lot of the reason why you left magic and some of the more distasteful elements of you know, the industry that you kind of wanted to get away from, are, you know, a lot of the kind of stuff that you know is sometimes on display when you go out and do a lecture tour or do a lot of conventions. You kind of get in the middle of all that, you know, sort of, you know, the drama and the gossip and
right.
All that stuff. Is there any, I know you've done a lot more conventions since you've come back, but is there any trepidation to maybe going out on the road and doing a lecture tour and kind of getting back on the front lines of the industry?
Yeah, it's like the Godfather 3. Every time I get out, they drag me.
They pull me back in.
Yeah, there is trepidation. You know, I don't think it's going to, you know, the one of the reasons and it's funny to even talk about this because it makes, I feel immature even talking about it. But basically, you know, when you know, I think that people, when they read the new notes, they'll kind of understand a little more. But when you go to the trouble of inventing something new.
Yeah.
You know, I'm saying that it's as easy as stealing. I honestly believe that. But at the same time, it's very difficult. You know, I think that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's one of those things where I think if you look at the sum total of energy, you know, expended, you know, you are probably looking at around the same amount,
right.
You know, because even if you took the shortcut of stealing something, you still have to make it work for you. You know,
right.
You still have to worry about whether or not you're doing it, you know, the same way or if you want to make it a little bit different. You know, there's still a lot of vectors that you have to take care of, where if you came up with something good or something different, then, you know, there's the same amount of energy. It's just different applications. Like, you have to worry if it's good, if this is tight, if maybe you like
right.
it for reasons that other people won't.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I'm just saying is it's funny to me that, well, and more so than that, it's just about it's the difference between, you know, having sex by yourself or having with someone else. I mean, but it literally is that. I mean, it's a totally different thing presenting something of yourself to other people. To me, that, you know, it just in general, I sincerely believe that creativity is life's greatest joy. I to me, performing something or just presenting something, whether it's a book or it's a performance, something that's uniquely you and make people enjoy it. I mean, I know we're talking very basic life things, but it's the most wonderful thing on earth. So to get back to your question, it's like, yeah, I have a little trepidation and the things that, and it still hurts me today. It's amazing. I mean, like, you can't believe, and I could put up links of this and I give examples, but it's, there's not a, almost, well, there's definitely not a week that goes by, but almost every other day or something, I get another link of somebody doing something of mine somewhere, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And when I see it, and if it's, you know, and people get mad for me now, which is awesome, but if it's a kid, if it's someone young or it's someone in a talent show or someone, you know, I absolutely honored and kind of touched, and you know, like, oh, yeah, you know, that's fine. Everybody as a beginner has to start that way. But when it's somebody who should know better, or who's someone who is manufacturing them, you know,
yeah,
you know, it's hurtful. And what you were saying about before, it's you know, same effort. The effort that is multiplied when you copy from Rudy Kobe, though, is that I will hunt you down like a dog and destroy you now. You know what I mean? Where before I would ignore it and let it hurt me and it drove me away from magic. Now I will hunt you down and make an example of you. And it's funny. Facebook is really good for that, because a guy recently was, you know, selling Nikki Terminator essentially on, and he's, you know, advertising the price. And I, you know, just sort of posted right in his little comments and, you know, posted the link to him, and but you know, he did the right thing. They took it down, and
yeah,
other people don't. You know,
well, cause, I mean, it's funny, and obviously, it's kind of the double edged sword for you, is that you come up, and 90% of the time that I ever talk to you about somebody that's stealing something, it's the four legs or Nikki
right.
Terminator,
exactly.
Which are
exactly.
Two very very odd things to copy, because it's not like other people are doing anything close to that. You know,
right.
It's not like. Like anybody who's into magic can think that this is anything other than Nikki Terminator, you know, especially if they're selling it. And it's like,
right,
you know, anybody who knows, who would think, oh, wow, this is really, really cool, you know, probably on some level assumes that they have permission to sell it, you know, like.
Right, exactly. No, and I think it is funny is, and it's funny, we could talk hours about this, but it's awesome because it's so, you know, and when people talk, people talk to me about, it's when I catch somebody doing it.
Yeah.
I'll try to talk sense into them at first. You know what I mean? And if they try to defend their actions by saying, oh, it's an old vaudeville routine, or oh, it's an old magic thing, then it makes me angry now. You know what I mean? Because then it's like, okay, put up or shut up. Exactly. And then I make mincemeat out of their arguments. And the funny thing is,
because you had them a million times. You know, right? Like,
yeah,
it's
exactly
like,
right. Exactly.
It's one of those things where yeah, this is kind of going a little bit off topic, but you know, Christopher Hitchens is, you know, specifically,
oh, yeah,
in the last couple, you know, years, done a lot of these debates, you know,
right,
and they'll debate some element of atheism and everything, and it's always like kind of to you know, pardon the metaphor, but like throwing the Christians to the lions, in
right,
that
right.
You know, it's like it's all he does, you know. I mean,
right,
he's an incredible you know, he has an incredible gift for rhetoric, and He's a very, very smart guy. He knows his arguments down cold, and he can do it, you know, drunk, and specifically now, kind
right,
of dying
right,
of cancer.
Right.
You know, he can still, you know, walk circles around pretty much anybody else who wants to, you know, debate him. And that's how I kind of feel like with anybody who would argue with you. It's just like, you know, number one, you are the guardian of some very, very, very iconic routines that are way outside where, you know, an average, you know, it's like you can't buy, you know, a Nikki Terminator the same way you would buy a mismade woman or something.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. It's like you're bringing a knife to a gunfight.
Yes.
You know, it's like
absolutely.
Like Christopher Hitchens. It's like the people that, you know, and the bottom line is, you know, Christopher Hitchens, I think, is a good example, you know, and he said outrageous things in the past, but I think,
yes,
and he says things outrageously, almost less outrageously now, I think, that he's sick in a way that it's still outrageous, but I think before he wanted to get a rise out of people, where now it's don't mess with him, because it's not that he has the facts on his side about Christianity.
Yeah.
But he knows what he's talking about the specific beliefs of religions.
Yes.
You know, don't,
yes,
don't
he's
try
thought,
to
he's thought quite a bit about this and talked
exactly,
probably even more.
Right. Exactly. So the bottom line is, it's funny, is I'm willing to have a philosophical discussion about all this stuff. But when you tell me that something that is my baby isn't my baby, then you're going to anger me, and I'm going to make you look stupid. And here, you know, here's a funny little, so let's make some news today.
Sure. Is,
here's a funny little thing that I've discovered in magic. I mean, it took me years and years and years to like make it this simple to people, but let's do that.
Let's go.
To me, that
bring
you
it
know
down.
Again, you bring it. If you to me, Again, the whole reason I'm writing this book is I'm trying to teach people to fish rather than sell them, rather than give them a trick, or, you know, is to teach them how to come up with their own stuff. That's the whole idea. And I think, again, the reason I'm writing this now is because I have the clarity, and we can talk about this later. But basically, you know, by doing, when we started doing Magic versus Science, and yeah. I thought we were going to do a group lecture, but I was going to do a lecture on stage there. And,
okay.
At the end of the week, because I've had this idea for a new lecture for a long time, since the last one. And then I couldn't do it on the stage for whatever reason, because something, I forget what the, so we ended up doing it downstairs. But anyway, for all those weeks leading up to it, I was working on what that would be. And that's basically, you know, with a couple more months of thought, become what this new lecture book, How to Be the Coolest Magician on Earth.
Yeah.
The name. That,
great what, name, by the way.
Yeah, well, it's true. How to become the coolest magician on earth. So, here's a secret, though. So basically, I'm one of the many people trying to show people how to come up with original magic. But here's a little secret: if you see something that you go, "Oh my God, that would be perfect for me."
Yes.
You know what I mean? That Nikki Terminator thing, I'm a pirate and I would want to do a pirate version of it. Or, you know what, I do an act where I'm a lumberjack and I want to have a wooden mannequin version of that.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. Or here's a little secret. Instead of stealing it, because you're not going to get away with it, you may, but then you're going to be embarrassed.
Yes.
Because I'm going to embarrass you at least.
Because, like, you know, yeah, if you want to have success, you're going to put a video online. And if it gets online, then, you know, magic's, you know, comprised of eight people, and eventually the eight people are going to talk to each other.
It's going to get back.
Yeah.
But here's a little secret. If you really want to do it, ask the person who created it.
Yeah.
It's a simple idea. Ask the person. Because the times that people have asked me about something, for example, I do a routine where I, years ago, where I did a thing where I have a helium balloon and they make the helium in the balloon change places with the air in my lungs, which is the Paul Harris concept.
Sure.
But my idea was to combine that with the levitation. So the balloon starts going down as I count to 10, and my helium voice as I'm going up. So
yeah.
And then I levitate, and then I go back. And so I did it years and years ago on a TV show with David Williamson. So recently, David Williamson wrote me on Facebook, which is awesome, and just said, "You know what, dude, that routine's so great. And I have, you know, I would love to do that." And, you know, it's almost 20 years later. And, you know, what, you know, is there any way that you would let me do that one day? Or how much could I pay you? Or, you know, because I have this TV show, I forgot where it was. And I just said, "I would be honored if you did it."
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You have full permission. I would love you to do it. Boom. He did it. You know, we were talking about Dan Sperry before when he was going to go on America's Got Talent. And again, he was down to the wire because he didn't have time. You know, he sort of got in with his YouTube thing and made a sensation. And then he was supposed to have a couple of weeks. It's a long story, but he had to go right in and do another spot. And you know, he's a friend, and he was like, "You know, I'd like to add Nick. I would like to do a Nikki Terminator thing to add to what I'm going to do." And not only did I say, "Yeah, that would be great for you," but I actually took my personal Nikki Terminator.
Yes.
I did. I had my own Nikki Terminator. I took off her head, took off her, you know, arms, and made it a Dan Sperry looking Tamika Terminator.
Yes.
And not only did that, but brought my assistant to do it. I went on the set with them, put it together. You know, I personally was proud of him to do it. So it's like, people will surprise you, you know. And, you know, recently, I'll give you a perfect example. I've had something, a routine, which is from this new act that I've been working on for years and years. And I have a section in it, which isn't even a trick, but it was inspired. It's inspired, or not even inspired by Marco Tempest, but something where if I do it, I think of him, you know.
Yes.
That general. Where I go, "You know what? Every time I start doing this, I think of Marco Tempest, just as, you know, because I love Marco. I've known him for years and years and years." So I said, "You know what? I'm not going to do this unless I have his blessing." So I called him up. And even though it wasn't a trick, it's not the same thing. It's nothing like it, you know. It's, you know, an idea, a vibe. I called him and said, "You know, I'd really like to do this, but if I want your blessing, and if you say no, I wouldn't do it." And he said, "Well, it's not even a, of course you could. It's not my thing." And I was like, "No, but I am inspired by you. When I do it or even think about it, I think of you. And it wouldn't feel right unless you say it's okay. And he said, no, you totally, you know, and it was so nice. And so, and
well, it's funny that you mentioned that kind of interaction. And, you know, I like to joke around about the fact that, you know, Magic is, you know, 8 to 30 people. And you know, it's a very, very tight community and everybody talks to everybody and everybody knows everybody. That's the funniest thing that I learned. I mean, you know, I mean, I don't know. I guess I used to have a fresh take in Magic. I mean, I've been doing it for 5 years now, so I guess I have an increasingly less fresh take on it. But you know, the thing that was so amazing to me is that you can talk to guys who are at the top of the industry. You know, the names of names, and you could mention some 13-year-old who did a YouTube video, you know, 6 months ago, and they know that name. Like, that's right. How small Magic is, and that's how much everybody in Magic... That's what... If you want to know that a magician is lying about something, is when you say, like, oh, well, did you hear about blank blank, and they released blank trick? If they say no, they're lying, because everybody knows everything. It's, like, downloaded into their brains. And because of that, I think, and coupled with the fact that I think, in general, this is an industry where necessarily, you know, social skills are not the primary point of interest for many practitioners of the industry...
Right. Certainly, that's how a lot of magicians get into magic, because it's a way of combating shyness.
Absolutely. And you know, I think so much can be done. So much. And even if it's not exactly the right, you know, the outcome you want of the conversation, it will 90% of the time, 99.999% of the time, make your life and your career better if you just initiate complimentary contact. With people that you like, people that you want to work with, people that you just see a cool thing and you want to say, hey, listen, that's awesome. I mean, I know working with Andrew and a score of other people that it nothing makes a magician's. I mean, when you are a creative person and you put your stuff either as a performer or as a thinker or as an inventor out on the line, nothing makes you feel better than somebody in your amongst your peers saying, hey, man, that's awesome.
Right. And you know, what's funny is, you know, and obviously some people write me about something that I don't want them to do, you know, but that's the other rule. I mean, rule number one, Rudy Kobe's rule number one, if you want to do something that someone else is, you ask them. Rule number two, if they say no, it's no. But the thing is, if you ask them in the right way and let them know, I won't do it. If, you know, I'm asking because I have a good idea, I think it would be good for me. You know, you're going to get an honest response. And the bottom line is, if you handle it correctly, you might even initiate, because I've had people do that and say, well, you know what? I do that. I think that would be a conflict. But what if you did this? Because you're saying that it's not actually the trick, but it's the vibe or it's the idea or it's the, you know, it's the setup. What if you did this instead? Then it wouldn't be a conflict. And what I'm saying is what's the great thing you were just saying is that wonderful thing about YouTube or not YouTube so much, but like, you know, Facebook or any of those is that, you know, how I could tell when people are lying. Cause a lot of times, if you said, have you seen such and such? The truth is I might not know because I purposely don't watch many other magicians. Oh, no, it's only because I honestly, it's like the Marco Tempest thing. The Marco Tempest thing, I would have come up with the specific thing I'm talking about. If I hadn't seen Marco. So in other words, sometimes I'll see people and go, oh, I already have a thing like that in my notebook, but now I can never do it because, you know, I've seen it and it'll, you know, I can't unsee it. You know?
Yeah.
But I'll tell you how you do know when people are lying. This is how I know, is when people, like, I call somebody on it, and it's always a shock when it's someone you know. You call on, you go, what are you doing? And they say, well, I tried to get in touch with you and I couldn't get in touch with you. So I just, and it's like, no, you didn't. Because
not in 2011. I mean, that's impossible.
Right. Exactly right. And so there's no excuse. And the bottom line is, we were saying before that you can't buy a zigzag or you can't buy a Nicky Turner like you can buy a zigzag. Well, the fact of the matter is, right, Rudy Kobe, and you might be able to buy Nicky Turner like a zigzag if it's we make it your own version of it. And it's like, for example, right now, Dan Sperry wants to do a, you know, Dan Sperryized cool version of it. And you know what? Another one, a really, I mean, like, not one that we do in a week, but like really, you know, 100%.
Something that he could, you know, take on the road and be his own.
Well, not only take it on the road, but I'm saying is it would not fit in a Rudy Kobe show.
Yes.
It would only uniquely fit in Dan's show. And that's exactly what we're talking about. And the bottom line is he wants to do it. And by him initiating that and taking and going about it the right way and doing it with respect, he not only gets that, but he gets Rudy Kobe's full thinking, because now I'm excited for him and the idea. And I'm going, well, what if he did this? And what if he did, and it'll be better than what I have, you know? So it's just so funny to me that, again, that's what I was saying before. It's easier to be original. Well, it's easier to me to do things respectably rather than do it the wrong way. Because you can't hide in 211. You know what I mean? No. Why steal something from Andrew Main when you can write Andrew Main and he's like the nicest guy in the world? And at the very least, you will get a handwritten email back from Andrew Main, really considering what you're asking him. And it's funny, I don't care who it is to a certain extent, whether it's, people that are far busier than me or Andrew, there's not many more busy than Andrew, but I'm saying is like Chris Kenner, I guarantee if you wrote him on Facebook and you had an honest question, you would get a specifically honest answer back, no matter how unknown you are. And incredible. That's an incredible thing, because you didn't have that, when I grew up, when you were going to a Monty Python routine, but you had to go to a magic convention or be at the Magic Castle to ask Di Vernon a question.
Yeah.
Or now Vernon was on Facebook, you would be able to get,
something, some sort of response back. It's one of those things that I think everybody should really, really, really think about whenever they're, when it's like that, when there's the difference between, do I talk to him or do I not talk to him? Just, talk to him to say
absolutely.
Hi, you know?
Yeah, don't be afraid. Exactly right. And then you get the right answer. Then you're not, you can move on. So, and the funny thing, and again, that's why I kind of wrote this book, is basically, how do you take close-up magic? Like, what you do right now, if you're a kids show magician or you're a close-up magician, how do you take what you're doing right now and turn it into something that the world would talk about? Something that you instantly, and again, the rules I put down about 3 minutes 15 years ago were absolutely are as true today as they were back then. But now it's even more so because we didn't have YouTube to a certain extent as then. So you instantly, not only do you only need 3 minutes, but you become famous in 3 minutes by post YouTube.
Absolutely. So, yeah, it's that. And also, heck, there's so many, there are more arenas for an act like that than there were 10, 15 years ago. Michael Carbonaro got booked on Kimmel. And that would that have happened when there was only 2 late night shows? Probably not.
Right.
Because Johnny had so much creative kind of freedom on that show. Like, but for an act like that, which is so kind of esoteric and weird, I don't know if that happens in a world where we don't have, a Chelsea Lately and a George Lopez and a Conan O'Brien and everybody's looking for something that's going to stick out. If not, a YouTube clip. You have broadcast television looking for YouTube clips, so they can further promote the program.
And absolutely. And the other thing is it's like, I think that people see, and obviously the names on my books are tongue in cheek, but the fact of the matter, they're also true. It's like when I wrote the How to Become a World Famous Magician, the fact of the matter is that, I think a lot of people say, well, I'm a housewife or I'm a little kid or I'm an old guy or, or I weigh 400 pounds or whatever. They go, I can't be, a TV. But the great thing is you don't have to look like anything or anyone. If you are uniquely you and you focus on making what you do original, entertaining, you could be famous tomorrow. And again, without an hour show with millions of dollars worth of equipment. Like, for example, we've all seen the 3-year-old that can do breakdancing and it becomes a million hits on YouTube in one day.
Yeah.
Well, I guarantee some magician taught his, 3-year-old flourishing, for example, or extreme card manipulation, or the cute little kid with the right personality doing passy bottles. That would be a YouTube sensation tomorrow, and there's no doubt in my mind, so we're at a, so again, the reason that I'm writing this book now rather than a couple years ago or even last year is because, I feel like I'm at a place now where I can take things which have taken me 30 years or more to to come to the conclusion of and break them down to simple to understand techniques and kind of just life lessons to apply towards whatever people do, you know, because and a lot of people don't know this, but right before I did the four legs and sort of traveled the world instantly, yeah. I was a close-up magician. That's what one of my, because I used to do close-up and kid shows and all that stuff, but right before I really hit with the four legs, it looked like I was on the path to be a successful close-up magician. I was doing, like, for example, right before I hit with the four legs, I was being flown to, I was doing close-up and being flown, like, on MGM Grand to, like, do stuff at the Desert Inn in Vegas, you know, where I would be at the Sands Hotel in Atlantic City doing it for the High Rollers, you know. So I was on a, you know, it's weird to think that Rudy Kobe could have been, I was on a path to becoming Danielle Cross or Jimmy Rippo or something, you know, or Michael Skinner, you know. But that's kind of, so I remember how I did that, you know, so I get to, you know, I have a perspective where I could talk about that even in the, you know, it's going to be fun getting. So your question, it's funny, we both trail off into various things. We always come back. But your question about being, you know, a little scared about, you know, seeing the bad side. The great thing is with the internet and with email and all that, you see the bad side, you know, so nothing is going to surprise me when I get out there. If I see a guy doing the four legs in a contest or I see Nikki Terminator for sale in the dealer's room, nothing is going to surprise me, even though it always does surprise me. It always shocks me to a certain extent. And but I'm really looking forward to getting out there because, again, the reason that this book and this lecture to a certain extent, this lecture tours exist is because I really have to credit the whole magic versus science experience, you know, because that was a rebirth for me, you know. I mean, coming back into magic and getting geared up for magic versus science, that whole experience of being around Chris Kenner and Andrew Main and Michael Carbonaro and yourself and Brian Brushwood just that, you know, being in that extremely fun, exclusive circle of, you know, you realize that's what I'm getting at. It was ecstasy. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
And all that fun comes from, it's a bunch of creative people putting their personality, their take on the material out there. That's all it is. It's so much fun to be creative, and it's so lame not to be creative that, you know, the whole idea of this, of going out there and doing it, is just to try to inspire people to, you know, to be the best version of what they can be. And I have to say that I'm, the original lecture book, again, when I was reading on that plane, going to do the lecture again, and I was really proud. I went, wow, I was on my game when I wrote these. You know, again, I couldn't have wrote them at the time when I was reading them. I was like, whoa, I was in the zone. And that's exactly what I feel right now because of Magic versus Science and the year I've had. I'm in the zone. And this year, 2011, is a good year for me to do like sort of a, you know, doing a lecture tour again because a lot of different versions, a lot of different reasons. But some of the things I may be doing, which I'll be general about right now because I don't want to jinx them, but if it's not signed, I'm not gonna, but I'll be doing touring with other productions, let's say, and be able to take off a day or take off a night and then or in conjunction with me being in certain cities, but I'll be popping around the world quite a lot in 2011. So I'll be able to say to New York or to Boston or to Vienna, hey, I'm in town this night. If you want to do it, let's do it.
I do not think that you're going to have a problem getting butts in seats for that kind of stuff, because obviously I think the legacy of your last notes alone, let alone, you know, the kind of career that you've had is going to be something fantastic that people, everybody is going to want to go see. I'll tell you what, Rudy, I could talk to you about creativity forever. And I really, really, really do hope that as people, you know, go and they get your lecture notes. Now, are you going to be selling them off your website or is it just going to be in person?
You know, I'm actually doing a pre-sale right now, but it'll mostly be at the, it's funny. Now we're actually talking about lecture notes. The lecture book itself, you can get, if you go to my Facebook, especially the Rudy Kobe, the fan page, because my Facebook has 5,000 friends, so I can't add new people. But if you go to my fan page or if you go to rudykobe.net, it'll be sold there too. And it's written, just so people know, you don't have to attend the lecture to understand it. You know, it's written as a standalone book, just like the other book was. You know, the lecture, the live lecture will be a demonstration of all that stuff. And with video, but also live performance. It's going to be like the Rudy Kobe experience. It's going to be a combination live slash lecture. And, you know, if it's in a place I can, I mean, I'll even be doing some stage stuff if it's in a place where I can actually do that. But it's going, each one is going to be unique in an event. But I also wanted to say the lecture book, which will be available directly for me. Right now I'm doing a special pre-sale too. So it's pretty cool. But I wanted to say in the lecture book, just if people are wondering, in this book, unlike the first one, I'm actually going to give some examples of routines and some tricks. And
oh,
some
great. Techniques.
Just as, yeah, just so so I could really, that's what I mean. That's what I mean about expanding on the idea so people can, you know, really see in a concrete way. So, and stuff that's never been published before from my close-up career before, and examples of stand-up stuff that'll only be in the lecture book. So that's going to be really cool. And I should make an announcement. I believe in this event, and this is the first event I've sort of, I just confirmed it 10 minutes before so I could announce it on here. But I think I'm going to be doing, a big showcase version of what I'm talking about.
Oh, amazing.
At the announcement at the IMX convention in Las Vegas in May. So
very cool.
Yeah. So that sounds, because I like the idea. The guy behind it, just the way he's going about that, sounds really good to me. Craig Mitchell. Where, you know, people can, you know, where it's got like a magic versus science vibe to me, because it's a lot of creative people. And he's looking at it in a creative way where people get to pick their various, people get to pick their various experiences rather than it just being one experience. So we're going to do a special big version of how to become the coolest magician on earth there.
That is super, super, super awesome. And then, of course, people can, friend your fan page up there on the Facebook or follow you at Rudy Kobe on Twitter, and as you start booking lecture dates in everybody's hometown, then they'll be able to find those there, right?
Yep. And people, again, we were saying before about people being just, if you have any questions, you can write me personally at rudykobe@hotmail.com. So that's probably the easiest way. If all else fails, rudykobe@hotmail.com, and I will personally write you back.
Absolutely. And let me just say this, if you're listening to this and you like this podcast and you liked the cut of Rudy's jib, just shoot him an email and say, hey man, Doug you on the podcast. I'll guarantee you this, it's gonna make the next time that you gotta, you want advice or you wanna ask permission, it's gonna be a lot easier. If you just said, hey, what's up, man? It's a cool work. All right, Rudy, I'll tell you what, the one thing that I'd really, really hope for this podcast, specifically, and I apologize, I mean, I know that we've gone way long, but I very much think that it was worth it. Is that I hope as you go around and as these lecture notes kind of get out there and people, I'm sure, enjoy them, that this is kind of looked at as a companion element to it, that you kind of going into depth on some of these topics, that this can be, something either if someone's going to go see Rudy, then they can listen to this beforehand, or if they read the lecture notes and they really like it and they want a little bit more, then they can listen to it after. So I'm very, very excited that you came on, and I'm super stoked to read the notes.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
All right, folks, that about wraps it up for this edition of the podcast. If you would like to email us, it is show@itricks.com. Until next week, I'm Justin Robert Young, editor of itricks.com. Bang and gone.
itricks.com.